I'm Bill Littlefield. The 2018 World Cup begins next week in Russia. At the last World Cup in 2014, the U.S. climbed gamely out of a group of death that included Germany, Portugal, and Ghana, and then, led by an exceptional performance by goalkeeper Tim Howard, they nearly advanced to the quarterfinals, losing to Belgium in extra time. The stage seemed to be set for further triumphs in 2018, but no, U.S. fans will have to find another team to support. Theirs didn't make it to Russia. How did that happen? The U.S. men's soccer team began the campaign to qualify for the World Cup on November 11, 2016, in Columbus, Ohio. It did not go well.
Into the near post, for DeLong, it's in! Mexico retake the lead!
The 2-1 loss to Mexico, despite the home field advantage, was, of course, disappointing. 4 days later, things got worse. The U.S. lost to Costa Rica 4-0. A win earns a team 3 points in the standings. You get 1 point from a tie. 2 losses net the loser nothing, and nothing comes from nothing except firing the coach, Jürgen Klinsmann. The U.S. Soccer Federation brought back Bruce Arena, who'd coached the team from 1998 until 2006, and he knew what he was in for.
I certainly thought it was an honor. I realized that it was going to be a very difficult job.
Yeah, he had to say that, right? But come on, the U.S. is a great, big, strong, rich country playing against nations like Honduras, Panama, and Trinidad and Tobago. And surely the return of Bruce Arena would give their confidence a boost, right?
It was a group that was a little down, but my impression of the group was that they were a really good group of guys. I think the leadership of Michael Bradley and Tim Howard, for example, was outstanding. And I felt those veteran players were going to be able to help us get through what we knew was going to be a very difficult year in 2017.
The challenge would be to recover from the hapless start and begin to win or at least tie some games against the 5 other teams from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean that had reached the stage of qualifying called the Hex. Not necessarily because of any curse, although this time, well, anyway, 6 teams, the hexagonal, the Hex. Only 3 of those 6 teams would be guaranteed spots in Russia. The 4th would have to win a playoff game against a team from another conference to qualify. On March 24th, playing for the first time under Arena, the U.S. team rallied. They beat Honduras 6-0, which is kind of like a baseball team winning 24-0. So, a silly question for the coach. What was the feeling after that game?
Well, obviously, an outstanding result and a great feeling.
Except that 3 of the starters in that game went down with injuries serious enough to create doubt about their future availability. They did not play in the game against Panama 4 days after the 6-0 win. The U.S. came home with a draw, so just 1 more point. Over the remainder of the spring and into the summer, Arena's team, a mix of MLS stalwarts and players employed by teams in Europe, could remain optimistic, if cautiously so. A 2-0 win over Trinidad and Tobago was followed by an encouraging draw with Mexico at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Always a difficult place for visitors to capture a point. But on September 1st, Costa Rica's team arrived at Red Bull Arena in New Jersey, where the U.S. should have had an advantage.
When we stepped on the field, about half the stadium was supporting the U.S. and the other half Costa Rica. We don't know how those people get tickets, you know, fans of the opposing team, but they manage to get them all the time.
Costa Rica delighted those fans by winning the game 2-0. I wondered if that loss left Bruce Arena thinking he was doing something wrong.
Well, we lost the game against Costa Rica. That's what we did wrong. We also made a real big mistake as a federation in putting that game in New York. Every game in qualifying is a battle, and every advantage you have, you got to take advantage of that. And we did not a very smart job in picking that venue.
Whoever was at fault, obviously the U.S. made no progress by losing that one, and little progress 4 days later when they traveled to Honduras. They needed an 85th-minute goal from Bobby Wood to salvage a draw. By October, with 2 games left to play, the U.S. sat 4th in the Hex, a precarious position. Still, 2 wins would mean 6 more points, and that would enable the U.S. to rise up the table and qualify, no matter the results of the other games in the Hex. Planning for Russia could begin.
So here we go. Panama occupying the vital third and final automatic qualification place for the World
Cup. On October 6th in Orlando, the U.S. hosted Panama, and this time the home team prevailed 4-0. So, as it worked out, a tie in the final game in Trinidad would suffice. The resultant 1 point would put the U.S. over the top, and all seemed in readiness. Or did it?
Well, nothing ever feels right when you're playing in a game in CONCACAF. You have the heat and humidity. The day before the game, we went to the game field and it was flooded and we literally could not train on it. So we didn't know exactly what the field conditions were going to be like on game day. And when we got there, we found out, you know, the field drained properly. And so there were no excuses at our end. And, you know, they scored off an unusual goal where Omar Gonzalez miscleared the ball and it ends up in the back of the net for an own goal.
Down one was perhaps discouraging. As it turned out, down two would be deflating.
Long distance blast, and it's Alvin Jones! One for the legend books! Oh, my! His first...
Arena's team got one back in the 47th minute. From then on, the U.S. became increasingly desperate.
Their goalkeeper was playing very well, and in the closing minutes, we had the chance by Benny Feilhaber, the header inside the six-yard box. And then the shot from Clint Dempsey off the goalpost.
Ball blasted low, tapped off the post. Fonsette got a finger to it, and that might be the difference.
All of those in the closing minutes of the game. So it was just a matter of inches.
It is over. Trinidad, with nothing to play for, has dethroned the United States, knocking them out of the World Cup 2018.
Bruce Arena told me there wasn't much he could say to the players. They knew what they'd done and what they had failed to do. They'd failed to make it to the World Cup. But Arena did have something to say to the U.S. Soccer Federation. He said, "I resign."
Well, there was no point in me remaining. I was hired to try to get this team into the World Cup. No one else was going to stand up and take any kind of responsibility, and I felt that it was in order that I do that.
Arena left behind some recommendations. Schedule home games that won't be convenient for the other team's fans. Work on building soccer in this country rather than making money by playing Mexico and Southern California. Encourage MLS to employ fewer foreign players and concentrate on developing homegrown talent. But Arena does not feel that failure to make the World Cup will fundamentally diminish soccer in the U.S.
It affects things commercially and politically. It doesn't impact where the sport is going because the sport continues to grow at the major league level. But there needs to be an improvement in technical leadership for our game. Everything has laid fairly idle since that day in October, and that is now about 6 months ago. So it indicates to me again that the leadership still doesn't get it.
Bruce Arena, gone as a coach, but not forgotten, though maybe some of the people in that leadership to which he refers might wish it were otherwise. Bruce Arena's new book is What's Wrong with U.S., or What's Wrong with Us, I guess, since there are no periods after the capital U and the capital S. Clever.